The old African slave song that asked the question, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" I have to answer yes. Not physically, but my sin was there.
We'll get to the rest of Pastor Mark's message in just a moment, but first we want to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black. We'll have more information about the church and how to contact us at the end of the podcast, but for right now, let's join Mark for this week's message.
Today's scripture is Luke 23, 32 through 46. "And there were also two others, malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they came to the place which is called the Skull, they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, 'If thou art king of the Jews, save thyself.' And there was also a superscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, 'Art thou not the Christ? Save thyself and us.' But the other answered, and rebuking him said, 'Dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom.' And he said unto them, 'Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt be with me in paradise.' And it was now that about the sixth hour, and a darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun's light failing, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said this, he gave up the ghost."
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And as we look at the cross, we see that you loved us, you cared for us, you sent your Son. And so, God, we ask that we examine the cross very closely. We may realize the depth of your love and your caring for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, John Newton, the converted slave trader, became a preacher, and he became a poet, and he became very well known in the preaching circles. When he laid on his deathbed, a young clergyman came to see him, and he expressed his deep regret at the prospect of losing such a close friend and laborer for the Lord. A servant of God said this, "True, I am going on before you, but you'll soon come after me. When you arrive, our friendship will no doubt cause you to find out where I am, but I can tell you already where you're most likely to find me. I'll be sitting at the feet of the thief whom Jesus saved in his dying moments on the cross." And although a distinguished man, Newton felt with Paul that he could only class himself among the chief of sinners who had been saved through the marvelous grace. How true that is. And how important it is for us to look at this miracle that Jesus did on the cross. A miracle? Is it listed among the miracles of Jesus? I think it should be. because it is a miracle. And so I want to examine that cross. I know it's not Easter time. Yeah. But we can look at the cross and see what happened there. And understand what happened. So I want to look at those who called to Jesus on the cross. I want to examine them for a minute. You see, there were those who crucified Him that was there. It was said that, or asked, who did crucify Jesus on the cross? Who did that? Was it the Jews who accused Him of treason and being a king? Was it the Romans who found no fault in Him but still allowed Him to be crucified? Was it my sin that could only be erased by the sacrifice of the cross? Or was it all of the above? For those who lived then and those who would live in the future, we all crucified Him. The old African slave song that asked the question, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" I have to answer yes. Not physically, but my sin was there. There were those who watched Him on the cross. They could do nothing but stand there. There were those that loved Him. There were those women and the mother of Jesus. There was John the Apostle there that loved Him. But they were helpless. And then there were those who were just curious, who watched the execution. It's interesting that Pilate, when he was interrogating Jesus made a statement. When Pilate asked the Jews, "What has He done?" This is what they said in John 19, 7 through 11. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law He ought to die because He made Himself out to be the Son of God." That's interesting. Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again, and he said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You have no authority over me unless it has been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." It was set. It was the plan of God that Jesus would die for the sin of people, of you and me. While there were the rulers that stood there, and they sneered at Him. In fact, it says, and the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at Him, saying, "He saved others, let Him save Himself if this is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." And then there were the soldiers who mocked Him. The soldiers also mocked Him, coming up to Him, offering Him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And then there were those who had placed a sign above His head. It says, "Now there was also an inscription above Him, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" Well, we know that wasn't what they intended it to say. They wanted it to say, "He claims to be the King of the Jews." But it spoke the truth. King of kings, Lord of lords. Imagine being nailed to a cross and having people mock you. You're there in the hot sun. They have taken your clothes and they've divided it. Your own people are mocking you. The Romans. And then this criminal next to you, who's making remarks. In fact, it says one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." You know, it's bad enough to be mocked by your own people and the Romans and the rulers, but now there's someone who's dying next to you and all he can do is mock you. Now I know what I would have done. But I know, number two, what the response of Jesus was. But Jesus was saying, and I want you to notice this, in verse 34, but Jesus was saying, it didn't say, and Jesus said, it says, and Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." How amazing that is. Verse 34 says, "Father, forgive them." The last part of that says, "They do not know what they are doing." Now, if I had power, I think I would have been tempted to use that power to get even. But Jesus did not use his power as an excuse for self-service or self-serving. My response would have been, "You wait, buddy. Boy, you gonna get yours. I command the mighty hosts of heaven, the heavenly hosts of God's mighty army." You know, it reminds me of the temptation of Jesus. We had studied that in Sunday school. Do you think Jesus was tempted on the cross? I think as a human, he was tempted, as we are. Remember that temptation? He had been in the wilderness and he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Remember, Satan came to him and he says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Do a miracle for yourself, Jesus. If you are the Son of God, save yourself." It's the same temptation. And people are yelling it at him. "Do it!" Or Satan took Jesus to the highest point of the temple in that temptation. And he said, "Throw yourself down, for he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." I wonder if Jesus thought, "Where's your help now, Jesus? He's supposed to be the chosen one. Call down those angels." And they sneered at him. Or when Satan said, "I will give all of this to you," and he showed him all of the worlds and the beauty of this world. He says, "If you fall down and worship me, save yourself, Jesus. Think about yourself." Wonder what Jesus was thinking. Well, you know, we have the seven last words of Jesus. And I find it interesting, those last words. I'm not going to give a sermon on the seven last words of Jesus. I might do that at Easter, okay? But the first one, of course, was, "The Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And the second one I'm going to talk about here in just a little bit. The third one is, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Now, it's an interesting time when Jesus ministered to his mother on the cross and said, "John, basically take care of her." Or the other one that says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some say Jesus was doubting at that. No, he wasn't. He was quoting scripture. He was quoting a psalm. He was fulfilling that psalm. Or the one time he did say, I thirst. How about, it is finished. And into your hand I commit my spirit. That's an interesting thing. The spirit of Jesus never died. He gave that spirit to God. Because that's the fullness. The fullness of God was in him. There's no words of hate. There's no words of selfishness. But they're words of ministering. And let's look at that second word. The word, I call it my third point. Jesus' response to the one who can be saved. That was the criminal on the other side. And if you look at the scriptures, this is what he says. But the other answered and rebuking him, rebuking the criminal that was hurling all these insults at him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? God in the flesh was there. And it says, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. That was a miracle on the cross. The last miracle that Jesus did. And the miracle why he was on the cross. That second word, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. So who is this one that can be saved? It is the one who is repentant. Willing to repent. The one who asks. And the one who believes. Now this miracle was really neat. And you may say to me, well, Mark, he didn't have to be baptized. Well, Jesus did a lot of miracles. This was before the blood of the covenant went into effect. And this is a miracle that Jesus did on the cross. You know, there's a writing that I like that I found. It said, I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves one above each other. And the taller we grow, the easier we can reach them. Now I find that God's gifts are on shelves one beneath another. And the lower we stoop, the more we get. How true that is. That's the way it was for this criminal. Now there is a Church of the Nativity. Right there it is. And I don't know if you can notice, this used to be a real big doorway there. See the arch? And it's been sealed. And when Carol and I went there, we were excited to go into the Church of the Nativity. Because there they have what they say is the birthplace of Jesus. But in order to get inside that church, you got to go through that little door. And yes, even I have to stoop. And everyone who enters that kneels and bows. You know, that's the way it is. We got to let go of ourselves. Philippians 2 10 and 11 says this, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is the Father who sent the Son. Jesus lived His life on this earth to show us the Father. He lived His life on this earth to do the will of the Father. And those knees are going to bow to the glory of the Father. Now that's interesting. Jesus, God in the flesh. Well, that's the person who can be saved. And they say, Mark, what does the Scripture talk about with the new covenant? Well, the Scriptures talk about in the new covenant that we have to believe in Jesus, right? We need to believe in Jesus. And we need to bow the knee and repent. We need to surrender. We need to confess Him, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible says we need to have our sins washed away through baptism. Now that the blood has been shed, we live under the new covenant. But my, wasn't that miracle something that Jesus did? I get fascinated by that. He can forgive sins. And we must have our sins forgiven to enter heaven. So we bow and we are then baptized into Jesus Christ. And then guess what? He says, your sins have been forgiven you, and I give you my Spirit that will live in you and strengthen you and help you walk in this new life that's been given to you. How sweet that is. May Jesus Christ be praised to the glory of the Father. May we understand the grace of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Wow.
Thanks for listening to the weekly podcast. We really hope you get a chance to worship with us sometime at Beechwood Christian Church. We're located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on our website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and we would love to have you join us. Again, thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you and your family.